over when you're ready.
Morning. You are holy, holy, holy. You're the God who rules the earth. You're the God who reigns in our lives. You're the name that's above every single name. And we come before you this morning, Lord, to give you glory, to give you thanks, and to say you are our King. And you are our Lord. And let's just sing again. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
Give you glory in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good morning, church. My name is Karina, and I am the worship leader for today. I just want to welcome everyone to church this Sunday. I know it's never easy coming out in the cold, but we're doing it all to God's glory.
Amen.
Today we're going to be talking about timing, specifically God's timing, and how God's timing, it may be difficult to understand sometimes, but it's important to remember that His timing is always correct. It's always right. He is always on time. And I'm going to be reading from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. And I'll be reading the NLT version, and it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And I really love this Bible verse because for humans, we like to create our own timings for everything, like this is the time of my life where this should be happening and so on and so forth. But this verse is very important because it reflects how for God, he has his own time plan for our lives and how we need to rely on that. So throughout the service, we'll be talking about other ways that God talks about timing in the Bible, and we'll also be singing songs that kind of relate to that. So first, before we do that, I would like to do the birthday box. So is there anyone who had a birthday last week or this coming week or maybe even today by chance? Any celebrants in the room? Birthday celebrants? No one? None. Okay, that's fine. I'm sure there'll be some next week. So, pardon? Where? Oh, I can't see the person. Oh, there we go. Happy birthday. Okay, so we have a celebrant, so we will sing the song. Okay, so the next song we'll be singing is Seek Ye First. It's a hymn, and it resonates with timing a lot because, as it says, I can't remember, I think this is Matthew 4:4 that it comes from. I'm not sure. Or it might be Matthew 6:6, but I'm not sure. But this song says we should seek ye first the kingdom of God, and that's so important because the kingdom of God tells us the timing that we should be following, not us. And the word first is, I think, the most important part in this verse, because it should always be first God that we go to, not ourselves, not our friends. It's always God first because he knows everything. So we'll be singing Seek Ye First. Doing is called Still. next song is called Been So Good, and I chose this one because I think it really resonates when talking about God's timing, because when you're going through tough times, it's hard to remember the times when God has been good. Like, you know God has been good to you before, but it can be hard to remember that when you're in a tough season. And Been So Good is a song that I think allows us to really reflect on how God has been so good to us. It forces you to remember that times that God has been good to us in our lives. So that's the song we'll be singing next. can all take your seats, and I would like to invite Flavie, who would like to do a talk about evangelism.
Good morning, church. Well, I didn't know the youth were going to sing this song. How wonderful it is to be saved. Amen. And not only that, how wonderful it is to have our youth leading the service, praising God, expressing God's wonders. As you look at each and every one of them, you can see the gift of God. We can count our blessings in this house, and it is a wonderful thing. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our youth in the church. We thank you for the youngsters, for the love, for the passion they have for Christ. We are grateful. Please do accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Flavie. I am JJ's mom. And David. I was just checking to see if he was listening, you see. Well, I stand here this morning on behalf of the evangelism team. I'm not going to call them out, just in case some people don't like to be called out. But anyway, we're here together to present to you the wonders God is doing in our lives and how the Lord has been using us in our local community. So we have an upcoming programs, which will be here. I will mention it in the end, but I'll just rather start with it. We have some leaflet here. The team will be sitting here at the end of the service. So if you can come and have a chat with us, you'll be wondering, why am I inviting you when I'm not telling you what I'm inviting you for? But you will understand by the time I get to the end of it. Now, I call this presentation Loneliness at Christmas. Now, do you know that according to research carried out by Age UK, which we know is a charity organization, they've carried this research in 2024, stating that 45% of adults in the UK admit of feeling lonely at Christmas. Now, this number continues to rise each year because the availability of services to keep up with the rate of demand doesn't match, as we understand. You'd be wondering, what is loneliness? We use certain words sometimes we don't actually understand, but we just get it. Yeah. So research has said that loneliness is different from being alone. A person can be lonely in the company of other people. They can still feel lonely. Loneliness is a chronic condition that stems through the absence of connection. Now, there are few types of loneliness. Emotional loneliness, that's the lack of meaningful relationship, the loss of loved one, divorce, separation, physical isolation, or other factors. And we have the social loneliness, the lack of friends, companionship, or social activities. Now, here is the big one. The existential loneliness. Existential loneliness is the sense of fundamental separateness, being alone in one's consciousness, expressing feeling of emptiness, meaninglessness, despair. It may involve questioning the means of one's purpose, worth or value. And as we all know, and it gets put under the umbrella of mental health. Now, the scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him should not perish, but... Wonderful. John 3:16, that is. Now, because of the fundamental reason why Jesus came for us, we cannot remain silent. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus' birth, as we know it. We also know that Jesus is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Why is it that such a time could be linked to a lonely time? Jesus said, I have come, as we know, he has come, he was born. I have come that they, meaning we, may have life, and that they, meaning we, may have it more abundantly, John 10:10b. So if Jesus has come for us to have an abundant life, you'll be wondering, what's going on? Okay, if I could take a little pause there to go over the creation of mankind. Do you think when God created us in his image, he just created us? I would like to think, looking at the deep consciousness of loneliness, there was a space within us that God, only God, could occupy. And when that space within our heart is left unattended by the Creator himself, then we wonder what our purpose are. We wonder the meaning of life. We wonder, just like a fish in half a pond. Are we all together?
Yes.
Amen. Now, a call to share hope. This Christmas, the evangelism team would like to warmly invite each and every one of us. Not because we think it's just a celebration or event. No. It's to overcome this feeling of loneliness. It's not for us to miraculously go out there and say, oh, this is it, it's Christmas. We're here to sing the Christmas carol as we know it, or we're here to give you the gift that we hope will be great. But no, we've been encouraged. We are inviting each and every member of this church to join us, to share with many people that may be feeling lonely, discouraged, forgotten, in despair. The call is not just being made by the evangelism team, but the call is being made to the whole church for us to preach the good news through the abundant life that Jesus has given us. Now, we need more members within the evangelism team because, as you know, as research has proven, 45%, and this number is increasing, 45 isn't far from 50. So if nearly 50% of the population is going through that, then we need enough members to be out there because services aren't being provided. And even though we are extremely grateful for the services that has been provided, but as the scripture makes us to believe that Jesus has come, he has come for his own. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not because we were saved, but while we were still sinners. So somebody not have come to salvation does not mean he's not valuable to Christ. He is the reason why Christ has come. So we would like to encourage you to please join our team, join this team, everybody's team, it's not just our team, yeah, where we need members to form the to form a prayer team, follow-up team, and continue to expand our services in the local area. Now, to conclude my little speech, please, after service, the team will be standing here, as I started saying, to answer any question, any query, or any ambiguity you may have been feeling. We have faith. We believe that the Lord speaks to each and every one of us. Because then sometimes, I don't know about you, but there have been times where you just feel when someone tells you they're going through something, a perfect stranger, and you just feel, oh, I feel so sorry for them. Would you think it's you, or is that the Holy Spirit telling you that's a desperate soul there, that's a lost soul there, that's someone that you could have impacted with the word of God? But sometimes it doesn't come to us naturally, but when we are within a team like this, we get the understanding, we get the drive, we get the boldness, we get the knowledge, we get the wisdom. So please, by any shape or in any capacity the Lord leads in your heart, please don't be shy, don't walk away. Please do join us. But while you are joining us, I appreciate we all like our cup of tea after service. While you're chatting to us, we will look after you and make sure we bring you your teas and coffee so you don't rush off. So thank you very much, and God bless you richly.
I'm actually going to, Karina and the team, if you could come back up for me, please. I just want us to do still one more time before we get into the word. I just want us to sing that song again, I Will Be Still and Know You Are God. Listen to the words as well. The need to lay on my heart for us to sing that song, because I think there's a few people that need to know this morning, be still and know He is God. He is King over the flood, King over your lives, and His will be done in Jesus' name. Be still and know He's God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Today's sermon is about God is always on time and His timing is perfect. And we're going to stay in the book of Ecclesiastes and we're going to read from chapter 3 and verse 11. And it says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end." I'm just going to have a bit of water. I sang croaky. So, where are all my impatient people at? Don't lie. Let's start again. Where's all my impatient people at? That's a bit better. It is so hard sometimes to be patient.
And sometimes waiting on God's perfect timing can be frustrating. And it feels sometimes that these needs or these things we're going through need to be met right now, in this moment, right now. We need it done now, Lord. We need it done now. And it needs his attention straight away. And it's difficult to wait on God's timing and God's intervention. And it can feel like it's taking a long time. Now, sometimes, church, God does operate in the there and then. We know that. But we know a lot of the time he doesn't. It doesn't deal with the things there and then. And why that is, we'll never always know. It could be numerous of things as to why God's timing has not arrived. I feel, and as I was writing this sermon, one of the main things is more than likely that God is working behind the scenes, working out the plan for us, because he is the master planner. He is the master planner. His timing is amazing, and he always gets the glory. Our faith and trust will increase when we can rely on God's timing. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that it's impossible to please God without faith. So if God only operated in the right here and now, where's faith ever going to be operated? Because you're going to say, God, do it now, and that's it, and it's done. Where faith can be operated in those moments, it can't be. But it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So some of the things that we're waiting on for that time is requiring our faith to stay put and our faith in God to remain. Faith is the essential thing for a relationship with God. It really is. And we've all been there when we've rushed into something, thinking, yes, I'm ready for this new season, only to realize we've run ahead of time and ahead of ourselves, only to be met with disappointment and frustration sometimes, because we've just gone our own way, because we couldn't wait that little bit longer. But we know the doors that need to be opened in our lives, whatever stage we're at in our lives, will be opened at the right time, because God has prepared for that door to be opened. And what door God's opened, no man can shut. No man can shut. And sometimes I had this vision of us pushing this door so hard, and we thought it was the enemy behind the door, saying, you ain't going to be open. But sometimes it's not. It's God. It's behind that door. And he said, it's not ready to be opened. And the Holy Spirit saying, just wait. Just wait. And sometimes we think it's the enemy, but it's not. Sometimes it's the restriction of God, because we're just not ready. Sometimes we want to chase our own destiny rather than sitting back and waiting and relying on God and what God has got planned for us. Sometimes we panic because we feel if it doesn't happen now, it's never going to happen. How many of us have said, it's just not going to happen for me? Because we feel deflated. We're still frustrated. But if God has said it's going to happen for you, and there's some of us that's heard from God, and we know it's God, but we've been deflated, and we've been frustrated because it hasn't happened yet. God's timing is perfect. And if God has said it, it will be done. Amen? As seen in the scripture that we've read, God is the only one who knows the beginning and the end. You know, there's a saying, he's a light unto your feet, not a floodgate into your future. And the light unto your feet might require you taking those steps with God and relying on him with faith. Trust me, if God was a floodgate into my future and the way I got to be standing here today, I would decline the journey. Because I would have said in my own strength, Lord, I could not do this. But that's why he says, yeah, but you're not going in your strength. You're going in my strength. My strength you're going to go in. And all those things you're going to face in those times that they come your way, in my strength you will overcome them. In my strength you're going to get through them. Amen? Amen. And sometimes God knows what's going to come back round the corner and bite us in the bum. as we used to say. He's going to come back round the corner, he's going to bite you in the bum, don't say I told you so. But at least God don't say the end bit. He's so gracious and loving that he picks us up. But he knows. We need to stop going our own way and truly surrender to God's will and his way and his timing. And we have to allow him to shape us and mold us. Because in the book of Isaiah it says, he is the potter and we are the clay. So when that timing comes and we allow God to mold us and to shape us, when that perfect timing comes, we're more ready, we're more prepared, we're more like Jesus as well when that time comes, because we've allowed God to mold us, we've allowed God to shape us into the calling and into the things that are coming our way. So sometimes the timing's not right because the character still needs a lot of work. And it's the same for me, even now. I know I'm not the perfect husband or youth pastor. I'm surprised you didn't go, yeah, amen. No? Oh. You let me get away with that one. But I am a much better version of myself because I allowed God to mold me and to shape me. And this is still happening to me as I speak. Do you know, I wouldn't have been in this job if I didn't follow the voice of God. I wouldn't be here. The journey that I went on, and I know you've heard it already, from being in ministry with another church to then going into work in the prisons. And then whilst being in the prisons, God's saying to me, I want you to go into work with the youth in the community. Then I go and work with Kent County Council, with working with Kent's finest young people that we've got to offer. And they were amazing. I loved it. I loved that job. It was amazing. And then God said to me, I want you back in ministry of young people. And then poor Richard had to get my email. And he's the reason I'm here. So, Mr. Seals, we'll have to have a chat with him if you don't like me afterwards, all right? But do you see what I mean? I could never have sent that email to Richard if I didn't listen to God, because then I had 4 years of working with the youth in the community. Do you understand what I mean? But I wouldn't have picked that journey to get me to here. I would have just said, first class ticket, straight over, cross the board, here we go, lovely. But we know that's not how God works. God doesn't work that way. As much as we would like him to and love him to, he doesn't. So I know I'm being molded and shaped into whatever next season that God's got for me. And whatever season it is we're being shaped and molded into, let God have the glory for it. This is all his. So I know it's hard to sit on your hands, but sometimes it's the best thing you can do. Sit on your hands and trust God. Plus, if I didn't allow this to happen, do you know that Jade could be a South East London gangster, you know? Could you imagine Jade rolling around? Yeah? Picture that for a minute. You know, she could bowl into the church, morning everyone, you alright? But instead, I hope she believes, she better not say amen on into this bit, but hopefully she got a God-fearing man who isn't perfect, just like no one is, but someone that God was moulding for her. I was the answer to Jade's prayers, and she was the answer to mine. She was at home asking God to answer her prayers about being a wife and a mum, and never really knowing if that would come to pass. But yet in the lovely parts of South East London, in the beautiful part of Thamesmead, aka concrete jungle, God was moulding a man. And then he set me up to move into Medway, where me and Jade would meet. And bless her, she's had to almost put up with me for 14 years in January. Glory to God, amen.
Amen.
Pray for her. No, I'm just kidding. You're good. Do you know that whole journey took 4 years to come to pass? We didn't just meet the second I got saved. 4 years for that to come to pass. But that's the point. We do need to learn to be patient sometimes and rely on God's timing. Patience, guess what? It's a fruit of the Spirit. And people think, Lord, I've asked for patience, and then God sends the most annoying person around. That person you don't like at work, the most annoying one comes up to talk to you the second after that prayer. God, give me patience. He turns up as well and says, hang on a minute. And you have a chat. But it's also regarding the fruit of patience. I mean, you can wait on God. It's not just about those annoying people. That fruit of patience means you're going to use, that's going to be worked through your life to rely on God's timing and His way. So the reality of it is, some of us, who's got a plan B all the time? Where's my plan B, people? And C, and D, and E, and F, and G. The whole plan, yeah. But sometimes when we're trusted in God for something, but our minds are over in another place, planning something else just in case God doesn't come through, it means we've got to work on our trust in Him. At least if God don't come through, I've got it sorted. We never have it sorted, really, do we? If God's not involved in it, it's never really sorted. And we're going to want God in everything we do. In every way we go, we want God in it. And in the book of Isaiah 55, he says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But Lord, how we wish your ways were my ways, and your thoughts were my thoughts. Because I'll be living in Buckingham Palace right now, with King Charles, chilling out. No, I'm just kidding. I'd rather be with you, I'm just kidding. That's the truth. Timmy, it's the truth. Yeah. But do you understand what I mean? His ways are not your ways. And guess what? They're never going to be your ways. And His thoughts are not your thoughts. And guess what? His thoughts are never going to be your thoughts. Because most of our thoughts condemn us, doubt us, say we're not worthy of things and everything like that. And God's saying, that's not me. That's not me at all. But because you're waiting on Him, you feel like He's not hearing you, but He is. He's just waiting for that timing, for when you're ready. Moses met God in the fiery bush, and he said to him, I've got a plan for you. Moses brought the excuses out for God about his stutter and other things. But it was 40 years later that Moses went back to help deliver the people, to bring them to the promised land. Then he went on another 40-year journey on that one as well, finding his way to the promised land. But do you know what? Moses may not have got to the promised land, but everybody else that was supposed to get there got there in God's timing. He let them do their thing and said, that's all right, you'll find out sooner or later. My way is the only way. My way is the best way. But I know some of us, 80 years, I'm not saying God's going to make you wait 80 years, so don't panic. They lived a bit longer in those days, you know, than what we do now. But what about the lady who touched the hem of Jesus' garment? Waited 12 years to be set free from her disease. Can we imagine the crying, the tears, the sweat, the shame, the money, the isolation that lady went through? But when Jesus turned up, she was healed. So when Jesus turns up, the breakthrough will come. When Jesus turns up, the healing's going to come. When Jesus comes up, the financial breakthrough is going to come. When Jesus turns up, the job you've been waiting for, the door shall be open. Because when Jesus turns up, ain't nobody else saying anything else to Him. Because He is King. And He has the final say, and He has the final word. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
I'll get on the right page. It's the last page, don't panic. It's going to be a nice early one for you today. So, as that song said, be still and know he's God. We need to be still in time sometimes. And don't hit the panic button. Still and know he is God. Sometimes God uses people to come in and give us confirmation of those things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us with confirmation of what's to come to pass. I know God's spoken things into my life I haven't seen yet come to pass. I know they haven't. But I believe if it was Jesus, it will. Church, as we've heard from Flavie and what I've got written down here, do you know your salvation is perfect timing? Perfect timing. Just when you thought it was all gone and it was all lost. And I remember being in the toilet praying to God, God, if you are real, please do not kill me. I want to live. I want to live. And he showed up. I said, that's it. You're going to live. You're going to live in me. Salvation was perfect timing for all of us. Whether that was 5, 55, 105, it was perfect timing. God came in at the perfect time to redeem us. So church, many of us need to take the hand off the steering wheel. You're not the driver. You're the passenger. Let Jesus be the driver. Let the Holy Spirit take the wheel. And let him take you on the journey he's got planned for you. And all those pit stops that need to take place, it won't be you putting your foot on the brake. It'll be the Holy Spirit. It'll be Jesus. Because we're going to hand the wheel over to them. So let's leave today knowing that every plan from God has the perfect timing. And it's going to be so much better for us. Whatever you're waiting for, it's going to be great. It's going to come through and you're going to go back and say, that was God. That was God. He knows the desires of your hearts, but he also knows what's best. So let's stand on the word of God this morning. As we leave and as the worship team comes back up to sing the final song, he's greater than it all. He's greater than your situation. And as the worship team come up, let's stand and sing that together. He's greater than it all. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amazing service. Thank you that we have learned more about your timing. Mm-hmm. And I pray that as we leave here today, that we would have learned how we need to be patient with you, Lord, because our timing is not your timing. Mm-hmm. The Bible says how 1,000 years can be 1 year for us, or 1 year for us can be 1,000 years for God. That just shows that, God, you are in control. Your timing is not ours. So help us to trust and rely on your timing. Help us to be patient with your timing and with other people as well, Lord, because once we master the act of waiting on you, it becomes easier to wait on others, Lord. And I pray that as we leave here, that we leave filled with your Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you all. You can join us in the lounge for teas and coffees, and you can also have a look at the stand there on evangelism. Thank you, everyone.
Open the eyes. Open.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes.